So I said to them, well, I can put a trail in here with volunteer people doing the work.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
We are fixing our fort.
What is it made out of?
Sticks and a bramble. And a bunch of brambles from a bush. Well, we found something that resembled a crashed thing. Mostly berry bush, and there's a few sticks on it. And then with Callie Makeza, we started fixing it. Some other kids had obviously tried to build them again, and had not succeeded. So Callie Makeza were marveled by it, so were we. I think they built a little bit more on it, but we did a lot of building on it, and it started looking better, but some other kids have gotten at it, obviously, and changed the door from one side to the other.
And made it bigger.
Yes. The berry bush has grown to a great extent, and we are very proud of it.
Should we go by the Spencer Creek and look at it and see if there's any in the river? Let's go and have a look.
Okay. The water's sort of greenish. See? I can see some green, like maybe wash, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, what are you making?
A window.
Oh, that's so cool.
See? Is it a window?
Look up.
Yeah, up there.
You missed it. Oh, it's no, there. Look, there it goes.
I know, it's the same bird. It's a red winged blackbird.
Is this your favourite spot of the Spencer Creek?
No, because it's too near the cars.
It would be if it wasn't so near to the park and then the cars and the house. I'm trying to climb the tree.
See to the top.
Do you?
Not really, because there's not enough branches unless you shimmy up with your legs.
Madeline could climb this one without any branches.
You think so?
Well, yeah, she could. She can climb the one without branches.
That's not going to be a door anymore.
Yeah, we're going to be blocking that part off, but this is going to be our door. So the small door that we can cover with a piece of wood, easier, with old bark or something like that. It's easier to cover.
The door on the side. Right
on the
here,
side,
where,
yeah.
Right
that here. Other side over there is going to be covered up. And the window will be left there, don't worry. Clear off all these little sticks so we can sit down comfortably. We'll have some rocks for
people. My name is Ian Reed. I've been very active in the Bruce Trail since 1955, I suppose. So I'm very interested in walking. And I found there weren't any trails in Dundas at that time, no walking trails at all, although we got a nice creek flowing right through the town. Actually, in the early 1980s, the town of Dundas was looking at having a new, what it's called, a leisure master plan. And I was on a committee, which was with another Bruce Trail person, Fred Baker, who was at that time the postmaster of Dundas, representing pedestrian recreation, really. Unfortunately, Fred Baker died very suddenly in a heart attack and skiing when he was out cross-country skiing. Mm. So he didn't, he never lived to see this plan come out. But this is the Leisure Master Plan of 1984. And we worked with the associates, Jack Ellis Associates, who brought the plan out. And I mean, there were lots of other people in Dundas, and all the sports people involved, and baseball and soccer and so on, and we all helped the associates to get information, We had telephone surveys of population of Nandas, and we found as a result of that that, amongst other things, they were very interested in having some trails to walk on in the town. Actually, this plan has a sort of a layout of what their idea of the trails should be, but of course they didn't take into account very much who owned the land and how we were going to get on the land. But they even reckoned building the trails, if we hired somebody to do it, would cost about $1 million. Well, the town of Dundas wasn't into it producing much money, certainly not $1 million, and they're always trying to keep the budget down. And so I said to them, well, I can put a trail in here with volunteer people doing the work, and it would be up to Bruce Trail standards. I mean, we're not going to have a hard top or anything like that. And so I, with the help of some other people, I got the trail on the ground as far as we could. But when I say there were no trails in Dundas, lots of people, fishermen mainly, or boys, small schoolboys, used to make paths down to the creek. But, of course, those were unofficial and they were often on private land. I couldn't put an official trail on private land at all. So we had to do a lot of negotiating. For instance, the Bertram property had closed down. It was no longer functioning. And I've forgotten the name of the person who actually bought the Bertram property, the first person to buy it, and he allowed us to go on there. We got permission from Dundas Valley Industries on Hatt Street to go on a bit of the trail along the creek through their property. And then there were other properties where we had more difficulty. We wanted to get across, for instance, into the Lions Club home on Creighton, the little homes that were near the bridge over the Spencer Creek. We wanted to get across the bridge there to get into the land that the town actually owned on the south side of the creek up there, but we had difficulty ever getting permission for that. We did eventually, and the bridge was going to be pulled down, but because it wasn't safe. This was the bridge leading onto Mill Street, right? At one time they thought it would be kept for emergency vehicles and things like that, but it wasn't safe for ordinary traffic. Eventually we got them to keep the bridge, and we do actually go over the bridge now and into the just the corner of the Lions Club property and get onto the town land. There are still some bits of the trail where we're not where we'd like to be, and actually when the town of Dundas folded at the end of year 2000, I prepared a thing of about actually 9 items of things we still wanted to do, but we hadn't been able to achieve them yet. Well, that's how the trail came into existence, and we'd like to continue to, I'm not saying our old committee will continue as a whole as such. We used to have a committee which worked with the people in the town of Dundas, the staff people, and of course the Director of Parks and Recreation, Rick Lane, was on our committee. And so we used to work with them, and I knew all the people. And now we've got a completely new situation with the city of Hamilton, and I'm just beginning to find out who the people we are, who we are going to deal with. It's been a long, slow process, and it's really not settled yet. So our committee can't continue as it was in the past when we reported to the town council of Dundas if we needed something, needed a little budget each year, and got it. But at present we've got no budget, and we have no staff to deal with. I can't talk to staff and say, could you get that done, and that sort of thing. So everything's in a little bit of a hold-up now.
Was there opposition to your work at all?
No. I mean, I can't say I've had wild expressions of enthusiasm or support or anything. And a lot of people in Dundas still don't know about the trail. And actually, I did a few years ago. I produced this, when I say I wrote a lot of it, but a lot of other people helped with it as well. And I produced this Town of Dundas Pedestrian Trails Guide with a bit of a text for it. And a map on the back showing the trails. Now this shows not only the Spencer Creek Trail, it shows other trails. For instance, the trail just at the bottom of the valley here, the Spring Creek Trail, we got the conservation authority to bring that down to link up to Warren Park. And that's put in, and there are other trails like that. And actually, the Spencer Creek Trail links up with the Bruce Trail and where the old Dundas Railway Station was. At the other end, on Coots Drive, our trail comes out to Coots Drive. If you cross Coots Drive, which can be done fairly safely there because there's a median, you can do half a crossing at a time. And the other side are the Royal Botanical Gardens trails, which you can walk right along past McMaster. And so it really provides a link between two other major trails, right?
Mm-hmm. I use it to walk because I work at McMaster, I just get the bus.
Yeah.
So sometimes I take that, if I'm not riding my bicycle, I take the Spencer Creek Trail, and it's beautiful. But I found, I guess part of your work was to sort of bring attention to the creek and the trail. Do you think, it strikes me that it's strange that people don't even recognize that there's a beautiful natural...
No.
There's a river, right, basically a stream running through the middle of town. It seems neglected in the sense that not much attention is paid to it.
No. Well, that's why I brought this thing out, which is a bit out of date now, and I still have a few of them left. Until we get more funding, we can't bring out a new brochure. There have been one or two things we've had to spend money on. Some staircase steps in a couple of places on the trail where there were steep slopes. Mm-hmm. To negotiate, and that was paid for by the town of Dundas, and the town staff did the work on that. So I mean, when I say we built the trail, it's like the Bruce Trail. It's just a question of clearing, clipping, making sure everything's all right to walk on. But it's a natural trail. Unfortunately, the worst thing we have to do, or the thing which is usually creates the most trouble, is garbage. You know, there's always garbage. Certain places where there's garbage, particularly near the parking lot of the Dundas Arena at the back there. Always a terrible mess there. And there's some vandalism as well. People come and pull down our sign, shoot at them, and that sort of thing, you know.
What kind of plant do you think it is?
I don't think that's poison ivy.
What does it look like to you? Dig it up and then plant it somewhere where it will have more sun.
That's a good idea.
There's a lot of plants in here, we'll have to get a lot of them out. But the little ones that we can sit on will stay, I think. And
look at that. Another one, please. Can you find a stick like that so I can put this there and have another one there and make a little walkway?
Hey, look at these little pots. Can I go and blow one?
Sure. That looks like another fort, she's pointed out.
I always thought that. I always wanted to play hide and seek here because I've always thought of hiding in there. There's too many places to hide in the woods. Just watch out for poison ivy.
Do you see that bird? No, which one?
It was over there. I think it's a red-winged blackbird.
Yeah, I saw a few of those.
I think it went into our fort.
Someone did something.
Put toilet paper over there.
Remember how Beth fell in?
Yes.
Yeah.
She dropped her ring.
Yeah. And she wasn't going far enough. You have to jump a fence.
No, she did. I know, she did go in by accident. She did get soaked.
Oh.
Remember? Eva, our fort.
We have a fort, and then this can be a small swimming pool.
We swam in there once. We can't swim in there.
You know, we can go fishing here.
The other side, there's Creighton. If you go to the other side,
mm-hmm.
That's where that road is, and then there's Creighton.
Just like we used to. With our heads high, smile and pass it by. Yeah, we'll softly sigh.
Whenever there's a new development goes on in town, I want to make quite sure that there's good pedestrian access to it. And the what used to be called the Royal Summit subdivision up Sydenham Road, when they opened their sort of sales place there, I went in to get a copy of the plan. I wanted to see what provision there was for people getting from the new subdivision down, and I was thinking particularly of school kids, to the schools down below, Central Public, and to the old Dundas District School. I mean, to expect them to walk out onto Sydenham Road and then down and around, it would be ridiculous. This Royal Summit Division has been in the on the cards for several years, you know, and we did have a plan of access down to Victoria Avenue. I found that the place where we had intended the pedestrians and possibly bicycles as well to come up to the subdivision, it just led into a lot which was going to be bought for a building, you know. And so the only person who could be able to use it would be the owner of the lot. And so I got onto Russ Powers about that, and that was changed, and I think it's going to be all right now, but I'm still not quite sure, because they keep on changing things again and again. In the old Dundas, town of Dundas days, we used to know what was happening because I talked to the planning people in the planning department. But now we just don't know. These things get put in without people in the town really knowing what's going on. It's not very satisfactory. It's probably deteriorated a little bit since the city took over, because our own committee has really sort of ceased to exist, because we had nothing to talk about. And I'm nearly 82 years old myself. I don't know how much longer I'm going to go. And I mean, I've got a lot of work to do with the Bruce Trail, and you know, my main objective has been to get the trail on the ground where we want it, and then get the, well, it was originally the town and then the city to take over from there. A lot of the other people who are on the committee are quite elderly, and I don't know whether they have much interest in going around. I say it's picking up garbage, which is one of the biggest things you have to do. But we do have a school which has been involved in it. That's the,
how many volunteers actually went out and cut the trail?
Oh, it's only 10 or so, something like that. On the whole, you need two items of equipment. One is some clippers, whatever you, long-handled is the best. Very long-handled clippers to clip small branches, and the other one is a small handsaw. The walking part itself, well, you take it out and then you sort of flatten it out where it's not very, you know, we don't want to try and disturb the natural lie of the terrain too much, but you flatten it out and rake it out so that it looks, people can see where they're meant to be walking. And then we didn't want to have expensive signs put up. We do have a sign at each road access, quite a small sign. We put yellow diamond markers. We used to put plastic ones up, but they got vandalised so much and pulled off, and so we paint them just like the booster trail on the trees. These are the things we have to keep up to date. Yeah.
There's a bit of a trail that comes off of Ogilvie by the creek there.
That's unofficial, yeah.
Yeah, unofficial. I think it's the Conservation Authority.
Conservation Authority, yeah. We would like to continue the trail from Warren Park to Ogilvie, but there are two houses on Tally Ho who own the property right across the creek and right up to the other side, and they wouldn't let us go through there. Yeah. The argument of one of them was, oh, will we get deer down there, and we said, don't want them to be disturbed. And, well, I couldn't persuade him at all. I mean, my argument against that is that we get deer here, and deer don't mind about us. They get right up. They come and stand over there and stare at us, and if we're standing in the window here, and they walk right round the front.
Standing in the window.
They're sometimes quite difficult to chase away. Yeah. And yes, yeah.
Knock,
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 knock.
Yeah.
Hello. Can I
go down here? No.
There's a lot of rocks.
You know what, Eva? I really don't want you guys to fall in right now.
There's rocks, Mummy. You're hardly
okay.
Up here.
Okay, be careful though. Because that's exactly the spot where you fell in last time.
Yeah, because I was walking over.
Okay.
I was walking in the water, and I was holding onto that root still.
Here's a stone.
You don't find berries on these trails, do we?
Actually,
yeah, you're right.
Can you save any for Daddy?
It's not berry season yet.
Well, you can find all the strawberries at once.
Now? I don't think not now.
No, they're all packed for you to find them.
Do you think this trail is well maintained?
Or
is it dangerous?
Shouldn't
be well maintained.
Look at
someone's tree
fort.
You
can climb up that
rock.
Yeah, but
I wouldn't
trust
it.
Mummy, you throw one in. Plastic member.
Forrest
Dixon.
Yeah.
And who gets first?
Under the bridge?
Yeah, I remember Plastic. But after Mummy never.
Okay.
Car from
the... Run to the other side. Let's see who's just coming.
Mine's up first.
Mummy, let's play who's game.
Okay, let's play.
Mummy and Mummy.
Over this way. One, two, three. Oh, mine took a long time to fall.
Mine went first.
Where's mine? It disappeared.
Mommy, they got stuck.
Oh, they caught. They caught.
Maybe that's mine that's coming along.
Aww.
Hey, Mommy.
Ready?
Bring around the Rosie, the bird.
You know that time you saw a gold bird?
Yeah.
And a red one?
Yeah.
Radio Free School, a show by, for, and about home learning.
Now one day, Pooh and Piglet and Rabbit and Roo were all playing poo sticks together. They had dropped their sticks in when Rabbit said, "Go!" And then they had hurried across to the other side of the bridge, and now they were all leaning over the edge, waiting to see whose stick would come up first. but it was a long time coming, because the river was very lazy that day, and hardly seemed to mind if it didn't ever get there at all.
"I can see mine!" cried Roo. "No, I can't. It's something else. Can you see yours, Piglet? I thought I could see mine, but I couldn't. There it is. No, it isn't. Can you see yours, Pooh?"
"No," said Pooh.
"I expect my stick's stuck," said Roo. "Rabbit, my stick's stuck. Is your stick stuck, Piglet?"
"They always take longer than you think," said Rabbit.
"How long do you think they'll take?" asked Roo. "I can see yours, Piglet," said Pooh suddenly. "Mine's a sort of greyish one," said Piglet, not daring to lean too far over in case he fell in. "Yes, that's what I can see. It's coming over onto my side."
Rabbit leaned over further than ever, looking for his, and Roo wriggled up and down, calling out,
"Come on, stick, 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 stick!"
And Piglet got very excited because his was the only one which had been seen. And that meant that he was winning.
"Are you sure it's mine?" squeaked Piglet excitedly. "Yes, because it's grey, a big grey one. Here it comes, a very big grey... Oh no, it isn't. It's Eeyore."
And out floated Eeyore.
"Eeyore!" cried everybody.
Looking very calm, very dignified, with his legs in the air, came Eeyore from beneath the bridge.
"It's Eeyore!"
cried Roo, terribly excited. "Is that so?" said Eeyore, getting caught up by little Eddie and turning slowly round 3 times. "I wondered."
"I didn't know you were playing," said Roo.
"I'm not," said Eeyore.
"Eeyore, what are you doing there?" said Rabbit.
"I'll give you 3 guesses, Rabbit. Digging holes in the ground?"
"Wrong."
"Leaping from branch to branch of a young oak tree?"
"Wrong."
"Waiting for somebody to help me out of the river?"
"Right.
Give Rabbit time and he'll always get the answer."
"But Eeyore," said Pooh in distress, "what can we, I mean, how shall we, do you think if we..."
"Yes," said Eeyore, "one of those would be just the thing, thank you, Pooh."
"He's gone round and round," said Roo,
much impressed. "Why not?" said Eeyore coldly.
"I can swim too," said Roo proudly.
"Not round and round," said Eeyore, "it's much more difficult. I didn't want to come swimming at all today," he went on revolving slowly, "but if, when in, I decide to practice a slight circular movement from right to left, or perhaps I should say," he added as he got into another eddy, "from left to right, just as it happens to occur to me, it is nobody's business but my own." There was a moment's silence while everybody thought.
"I've got a sort of idea," said Pooh at last, "but I don't suppose it's a very good one."
"I don't suppose it is either," said Eeyore.
"Go on, Pooh," said Rabbit, "let's have it."
"Well, if we all threw stones and things into the river on one side of Eeyore, the stones would make waves, and the waves would wash him to the other side."
"That's a very good idea," said Rabbit,
and Pooh looked happy again. "Very," said Eeyore. "When I want to be washed, Pooh, I'll let you know."
"Supposing we hit him by mistake," said Piglet anxiously.
"Or supposing you missed him by mistake," said Eeyore. "Think of all the possibilities, Piglet, before you settle down to enjoy yourselves." But Pooh had got the biggest stone he could carry and was leaning over the bridge, holding it in his paws.
"I'm not throwing it, I'm dropping it, Eeyore," he explained. "And then I can't miss, I mean, I can't hit you. Could you stop turning round for a moment? Because it muddles me rather."
"No," said Eeyore, "I like turning round." Rabbit began to feel that it was time he took command.
"Now, Pooh," he said, "when I say now, you can drop it. Eeyore, when I say now, Pooh will drop his stone."
"Thank you very much, Rabbit, but I expect I shall know."
"Are you ready, Pooh? Piglet, give Pooh a little more room. Get back a bit there, Roo. Are you ready?"
"No," said Eeyore.
"Now," said Rabbit.
Pooh dropped his stone. There was a loud splash and Eeyore disappeared. It was an anxious moment for the watchers on the bridge. They looked and looked, and even the sight of Piglet's stick coming out a little in front of Rabbit's didn't cheer them up as much as you would have expected. And then, just as Pooh was beginning to think that he must have chosen the wrong stone or the wrong river or the wrong day for his idea, something grey showed for a moment by the river bank, and it got slowly bigger and bigger, and at last it was Eeyore coming out. With a shout they rushed off the bridge and pushed and pulled at him, and soon he was standing among them again on dry land.
The end!
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.